This is Sharp Money with Patrick Maher and Amal Shah on VSIN, the Sports Betting Network.
Final hour of the program, Sharp Money. Dustin Sweetelson here, live from Circa, downtown Las Vegas, hanging out with my friend Scott Spreitzer, professional handicapper, going to be with us now for the next 45 minutes as we look ahead to college football week one. Scott, before we get to that, I do have to ask you some questions because we are at Circa, and Patrick, myself, and Mike Somich are putting together a Circa Survivor entry.
Okay.
One, do you mess with the contests or any contest in town? That's my first question. Are you a fan? Do you jump in them?
Well, two of the contests I'll be in will be the point spread contest, which will be the NFL.
The millions?
Westgate out here at Circa also. So I have cards in each contest. And in fact, I'm signing up tomorrow. It took forever to hook up with my proxy, Dave Tooley, because he's been out of town running kids around in different colleges around the southwestern and western part of the United States. So we're going to finally get together tomorrow, sign up at Westgate, come down here and sign up at Circa for the point spread contest. For the Survivor, I don't do Survivor. In fact, I was asked.
Yeah, because you're a sharp person, and it's for the dumb people like me.
I just look at it this way. You need about at least 10 entries, 8 to 10 entries, to have a chance to win the Survivor contest. And I'm so involved in the point spreads, as you know, as everybody who's known me knows, that to give. I got a friend of mine who's involved in the Survivor contest, and I don't know if it was here a couple of years ago or somewhere else, but he and a group of guys, 5-6 guys, they won a couple $100,000 a couple years ago. And I asked him, how much out of your work week? Now, he's not a bettor. He just gets in the Survivor stuff. Sure. And I said, how much of your work week do you take and set aside to be able to have a shot at winning a Survivor contest or winning any kind of money? And he said, they spend 8 to 10 hours a week. And I'm like, holy cow, I don't have time. I mean, I got so much going on with point spreads. I don't want to devote, it's like fantasy. Yeah. I don't even play fantasy sports anymore. I got to devote my time to the point spread. And, you know, myself and the guy I teamed up with a few years ago, Big Al McMorty, we cashed, I think, 15th place at the Westgate a couple years ago and made, you know, turned 1500 into about 25,000. So we've had success there before. And, last year we got off to a great start and then just kind of faded down the stretch. But, yeah, I'll be in the 2-point spread contest for sure.
Well, you mentioned being in a group before and having to, you know, share the entry with other people. And that is like my biggest concern here is that it's me, it's Patrick, it's Mike Somich, who's here at the network now.
Right.
And coming to a consensus every single week on the one pick that we want to roll with. And ours is a lot easier. There's no spreads involved. Right. And it's just, do you think they're going to win? How hard was it for you when you entered the contest to figure out how to, you know, work with a teammate when it comes to something that like you feel really strongly about?
Well, many, many years ago, 20 years ago, I probably got involved with like three guys. So there's like four of us with a couple of the cards or whatever it was at the Westgate. And it was hectic. It was a mess. But when I did this with Big Al and Big Al comes from a totally different perspective when it comes to handicapping games. Well, I shouldn't say totally. We both look at a lot of situationals, but he's an angles guy where I'm more into matchups a little bit, not as much as I used to be. And so we have this really good, what's been a fail-safe system for us. There's no arguments. There's no debating. What he'll do is he'll handicap the NFL card on his own. I'll handicap the NFL card on my own. And then I will assign anywhere from 0 points, which means we don't like the game at all. One is a small play, two a little bit bigger, three being the biggest. And so when I do my handicapping for that weekend, and I'm probably giving away stuff that maybe guys who have just started to get into contest should do, but I don't really want them to if they've got partners. But I assign, you know, we each assign, like, you know, if I like Atlanta over Tennessee, let's say, and I like them a lot. Well, that's a three for me, and that's as high as we go. And so at the end of the night, we've got all the games to talk about. We run down, hey, Al, what do you got on Atlanta, Tennessee? Well, I like Atlanta for a two. Well, I got them as a three. That's a five. And I just go down the card, and we go with the top 5 points, the top five teams that generated the most points between the two of us. We rarely have a big play that's opposite. Probably five times, three times in the entire season did we have myself as a three on a team and Al on the other side as a three. That maybe happened two or three times, and we just junk it. It's a zero. And so that's what we do. And then generally speaking, we'll have four real good solid points totals of our combined points. And then we'll have like maybe two or three teams where they're tied for that fifth spot. And then we have to start going through that. But what it does is it cuts down the potential of a 2-hour discussion fest, scratching your head.
Do you like this one?
To about a 20-minute phone call. We do this on Wednesday nights. So it's about 11 o'clock on a Wednesday night. We go down the list, and again, it's about a 20-minute phone call, and we're done. Yeah, and then we ship them off to Thule, as I'll be doing this year. I'll ship my plays off to Thule, and he comes down and runs around and makes the bets for him. And by the way, I probably, I don't know if I'm allowed to plug it, but he is a VSIN guy.
Yeah.
Dave Tooley is completely trustworthy for anybody who's still looking to get a proxy. I live here in Las Vegas, but I'm worried that there's going to something's going to come up and I'm not going to make it to the both places
That's
in time.
Smart.
And Tooley's been great for like 3 or 4 years that I've used him now.
Dave Tooley's a legend. I don't think he's bet a favorite in any sport since like Millard Fillmore was president. Like it goes way back. Scott Spicer with us here, Sharp Money. I'm Dustin Sweetelson hanging out, VSiN, the sports betting network. You mentioned you're more of a matchup guy, your partner more of a systems guy. I think right now, coming into week one of college football and then next week with week one of the NFL, it feels like balancing the two is very difficult when we have nothing to base our thoughts on right now. And I keep going back and forth with my systems. Well, this trend has gone really well in this situation for this many times. And then I'm also going, but this team is unique because every team every year is its own individual thing. Like, where do you stand on balancing the two when you find a trend you really love or a system you really like versus like, I just think this team is better on paper?
There's certain, like, I think VSiN, I think I'm 99% sure I saw this in the VSiN, either the college football preview or in somebody's pick this week in VSiN, like Mackinnon or something like that. I'm pretty sure it was Mackinnon. But anyway, they listed an angle or a trend that, and this is the example I'm going to use to tell you what I look for. He listed an angle or a trend that's, you know, counterintuitive. Most people think that, you know, like in college football, Team A played a game in week zero. Team B did not play a game in week zero.
It's a big one.
So most people think, you know, a team that played the game, that's an automatic play. They've worked out the
rust.
Exactly. So, but it's opposite of that because now you've got Team B with a week off that's seen game film of the new season as opposed to the team who played game one, not having a game film on the team that hasn't played yet. But there's subsets of that. And I think it's like 56 and 33 from what Mackett had put in the guide. But, if I'm getting the wrong person to VSiN, it was
VSiN. I saw it on a few different outlets. I saw Brad Powers had it. It was about a 400 game sample size.
Well, his was, but here's this, you got to do subsets. I'm very big into subsets before I use any situations. And in that 56 and 33 subset, which was the last several years, let's say 7-8 years, there is a bad spot in there. And you do not play on, well, if you're following the system, you're losing money about 55% of the time you're losing if you're playing the team that did not play and they're road chalk.
So that's an interesting point because I think the context when it comes to a lot of these plans, especially in week one, the lines are crazy in a lot of these matchups. So just blindly say that some group does better ATS in week one, you can't just 100% go by it. I had a whole thing on coaches in week two that I went over earlier, how well or week one and year two of them at their programs doing really well. But when you look at some of the spreads, we're talking like 30, 35, 40 point spreads. They should do well. They scheduled down. So the context does matter in a lot of these instances.
Absolutely. And again, you know, like Hawaii is a team that overall would fit that spot. They played last week. They covered against Vandy. They come home. Stanford hasn't played. So you're thinking, okay, maybe Stanford fits that spot because, you know, they've had game film on Hawaii. But the subset says Stanford is more likely to lose about 55% of the time against the spread because they're road chalk play in their first game. And so you look, you know, that's what I do all the time. If I see something that is an angle that looks really good, I'm like, okay, but does it work here? Does it work there? It just can't be one overall group and you jump in and you start playing blindly, never play anything blindly anything anyway, unless it's maybe against the Angels right now. But other than that, or the Angels not to make the postseason every year. But, you know, so I look at things like that, like the whole West Coast, East Coast thing that everybody, you know, talked about for many, many years. NFL West Coast
clock
team does bad on the East Coast against the spread was the biggest myth I've ever seen in the world of sports betting. And again, my good friend Al and I, we looked to his database, which was over 30 years of database. He's just as meticulous as it gets. So you knew it was going to be 100% correct, his number. And we went back and looked at the West Coast team covers on the East Coast. And if it's the second game in a row on the East Coast, they're like a 70% cover. And so we went on all these radio shows and told people, this is a myth. You know,
it was never true. It was just a talking point that everyone repeated without anyone actually doing the research.
It sounds logical as can be. And I think there was a time in the early to mid 2000s back of the aughts when like San Francisco was really bad. The Raiders were really bad, where there was like two seasons where they played poorly, but they were such bad teams.
Yeah.
But if you go
context,
and if you go all the way back to 1980, through last year, you're going to find out that you're losing money if you bet on that East Coast team. So a lot of times you'll hear these trends and angles that come out and they sound great. They sound logical. But I always ask that next question. And there were guys you trust. There's big name guys that are doing that. And I'll just always say, but have you done the research and can I see the data? And yeah, fortunately, like I said, I got a couple of guys now with 30 to 40 year databases where I can call them and they plug it in and boom, you find out what the real actual record is.
I'd love their cell phone numbers. This is VSiN Sharp Money. I'm Dustin Sweetelson. He's Scott Spritzer, our professional handicapper. We'll get into some of the games you like in the next couple segments here, Scott. But real quick, you're a big college football guy. I'm a big college football guy. I have to tell you, the transfer portal, while I like what it does for the player, it makes this research leading into week one harder than anything I did in high school or college, I think. Yeah. It's borderline earth science, learning about like sedimentary rocks for me right now.
There's a lot of good guys on Nebraska last night, plus the points that they cashed. I did not play it. I do a Wednesday night Big Ten show, and I was saying I'm not playing the game. There's so many question marks to Nebraska. There's a few to Minnesota, but you have no idea how the Huskers are going to come out and play. Jeff Sims for Heisman, by the way, after that performance.
How about that one touchdown on a broken play where I think half the defense thought that it was a dead ball, yeah. Stopped running, receivers open in the end zone. That's it. That was the touchdown. So when they were about to win the game and everyone's upset now that they blew it, it's like, did they really deserve to win the game when that was the one touchdown?
Defense played well for the most part, offense stunk on ice. But yeah, that's part of an example of answering your question. I really got to know something about a team in the first week to play them. So I'm a minimalist in week zero and week one as far as the amount of plays I have. And you're right. I mean, maybe we found out that Jeff Sims needs to dribble the ball a couple of times before he throws it accurately. You know, that could be a play next week.
This will be no surprise. I am the opposite of you, whatever the opposite of a minimalist, a maximalist. That's what I am this week, and I got like 15 bets.
Wow.
We'll ask Scott about the few he has because he probably likes his better. On the other side, this is Sharp Money on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
This is Sharp Money with Patrick Maher and Amal Shaw on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Become a VSiN Pro subscriber today and get a daily email recapping all the best bets from our show hosts and guests. You'll get unlimited access to our VSiN.com/picks page, sort picks by sport, matchup, event date, and more. Check the top VSiN experts leaderboard to view betting records, profit, and ROI, and see which VSiN expert has the hot hand. For VSiN Pro picks, betting splits, power ratings, plus 24/7 video access, become a VSiN Pro subscriber today. Sign up for only $19 for your first month. VSiN.com/subscribe. This is Sharp Money. I'm Dustin Sweetelson, sitting here hanging out at Circa with my man, Scott Spritzer, who has taught me, I mean, just about as much as I know about betting as anyone. And I mean, he's like, don't tell people that because they have the VSiN subscription. They see how your picks are doing. No, we're doing okay. 4-3 in our last seven. 4-3. We're slightly above.
Yeah, I'll
we're
take doing that okay. All season long. 4-3.
Yeah. If I go, that's what I tell people. Not that like I'm an expert or professional like you, but when people go, you know, I only went 3-2 this week in my picks. I go, yeah, but if you do that every single week of the year, you will be very happy at the end of the year.
Absolute 57%. I'll take that every season in any sport, and you know, even in baseball, because I don't lay a lot of juice in baseball. That's a nice start. It's a winning start. And if you make all your plays the same as far as your ratings are concerned and your bets are concerned, then you're going to be okay, Dustin.
Yeah, so like managing your expectations, that goes into it too. So let's look at some of the college games. We'll start with tonight. I know you like Louisville. Mm. I know a lot of sharp people are high on Jeff Brohm in his first year. A lot of big-time transfers coming in. He is the savior of that program. He's a guy they've been after forever. He's obviously, sure, him and his family are legends with the Cardinals. You like their win total. How do you like them tonight? Laying 7.5 in Atlanta. Not a home game for the Yellow Jackets, but right down the road at Mercedes-Benz.
Yeah, I played over 8 a few weeks ago, but as far as this game is concerned, and you know, I get it, Louisville has to replace, you know, 3 offensive line starters. I understand that. They did bring in about 150 career starts among their incoming offensive linemen through the portal. So there is experience. They just haven't played a game together, those guys. But there's talent in place. You got Jack Plummer, who is familiar with what Jeff Brohm wants to do. And Brohm, of course, familiar with Plummer. He was with Purdue a couple of years ago before he transferred to Berkeley. So he's back now under the tutelage of Brohm, and he's going to be heading this offense. There's some new faces on the front seven on defense, but they're facing a team that I think is in for a rough season, talking about Georgia Tech. And we can start with the good news. And I hate to keep picking on this guy, but I'm from Omaha, so I'm going to. The good news for Georgia Tech is that Jeff Sims is no longer the quarterback at Georgia Tech. He resides in Lincoln, so they don't have to worry about an inaccurate passer who throws interceptions and makes bad decisions in key moments of football games. However, the bad news, it might be that they got Haynes King coming back from Texas A&M, and Haynes King was about a 55% passer in his five starts at A&M and tends to make bad decisions. It has almost as many INTs, I believe, as touchdowns. Bottom line, Dustin, for me, is that Georgia Tech is bad, going to be bad on defense. They were bad last year, specifically against the run. And Brohm wants to throw a little bit more this year, but he does have that running back who averaged almost 6 yards per carry. I think it was like 5.7 and change to be exact. Jordan. Talking about Jawar Jordan. Yeah. So he's a good running back. I think they'll be able to run through this team for the most part. And don't forget, you know, when Brohm took over at Purdue, they'd come off a season where I think they won 3 games and the losses came by about 21 points per contest. He turned them around in his first year and he brought them to a bowl game. So I think Louisville, and they got a soft schedule, by the way, Louisville.
Yeah.
So I think 9 wins is possible here for Louisville. And I also like him to knock off Georgia Tech by double digits.
Yeah. You mentioned the throwing Brohm when he was at Purdue, they threw the ball close to 60% of the time. Right. That's an increase for what Louisville normally does. That's why I understand. I'm on Georgia Tech. It's just one of those deals where they're in Atlanta, and I liked how they played down the stretch. I happen to know their offensive coordinator. I wouldn't say he likes me. I think he and I had some chats when I covered him when he was like the quarterback's coach at Valdosta State, and he was not thrilled with some of the things I said, but I do think he is a very smart offensive mind. That's why I'm on the other side of that. But I got 8. You got 7.5.
You went to Valdosta State, right? Is that where you went?
Yeah.
Okay, so you were a college reporter. Is that what the deal was? Or
I was,
or was this afterwards?
Beat reporter, columnist, pregame host, postgame host, and occasionally fill in play-by-play and analyst on the broadcast.
Oh, cool. Okay, so you know him real well.
Yeah, so people think because like I'm really like open and lenient about a lot of things when it comes to sports and like being like open to anything. Like I convinced myself Billy Napier could win last night.
Okay.
The reason I'm like that now is because I treated Division II Valdosta State like I was a beat reporter for the New York Mets. And they were like,
I love it.
They're like, you can't say these. They're college kids. Like, leave them alone. All right, let's go down your list. This is an interesting bet because I thought about getting in on this one, but I just couldn't find an angle that I really loved. Fresno and Purdue. I believe the line is at 4, I want to say.
3.5 just about everywhere a couple of hours ago. So, they opened Purdue about a 6.5-point favorite in some shops.
Wow.
You know, a couple of months ago, and the line has dropped a full 3 points, which this is my – it's a play, so I do like it, obviously, but it's probably the least best play for me this weekend. But I did jump in at 3.5 and went to drop 3 points, and you know, Jeff Brohm, we just talked about him. He's obviously no longer to West Lafayette. Aiden O'Connell resides down the street here in Las Vegas with the Raiders right now. And his favorite targets at Purdue that O'Connell had here are also gone. But I like the hiring of Ryan Walters, Dustin. He's bringing in that offensive coordinator, Graham Harrell, who maybe has underperformed a little bit as an OC.
Places where like the expectations were crazy high. Year one and fix all of our problems. USC was kind of a mess. West Virginia has stayed a mess. So like I get what you're saying because Graham Harrell, look, he learned the air raid from Mike Leach, also Valdosta State guy. And I believe this is a good under the radar spot for him to up his Q rating.
Absolutely. That's what I was going to say is the expectations aren't huge, obviously, in West Lafayette. And now he can come out of the radar and he can kind of surprise a little bit. I like the hire, by the way. So, and then of course, Ryan Walters is that defensive mind. And we've seen him pump out some really good defensive teams. And I think they're going to be fine on defense here. And if you look at Fresno, you lose Jake Haner from last year's offense. They're not going to be as strong in all likelihood. It's a complete breakdown and rebuild of a new offensive look. And they've got Mike Keene at quarterback. He's that Central Florida transfer. Wasn't going to play too much for the Knights for UCF. So once it dropped 3 points is when I dropped in. I do like him here laying the 3.5.
Well, and Jake Haner was a stabilizing force. I think that could be an angle that probably we should be looking at more with a lot of these teams. When they have multi-year starters at quarterback, what's that transition like to the next season? Like, especially like, let's say with Georgia, obviously they have everything else in place, but like we're going from a guy who was a back-to-back starter on both national championship squads to an absolute unknown in Carson Beck. Everyone is saying how good Beck looks. Everyone's saying how he's handled every situation with class and they like him and they like his attitude. But like, I think there's a lot of situations similar to this where you have someone who's been a multi-year starter at quarterback. You have to expect a drop off at least early on the next season.
Well, and you're talking about the quarterback at Georgia. I mean, they're playing Valdosta State every week, right? So I don't mean to, they got such a soft schedule that he should be all right, and he should get the gist of what's going on in the Georgia offense pretty quickly.
All right, let's keep going through your games because I'm fascinated that you have a bet on this one because last week I got beat because UMass has been one of the worst teams you will ever watch play football. Dom Brown goes over from Michigan, second stint with the program. And last week they win outright and dropped, I believe, 41 points.
Yes, they
did. I don't think they've done in years. So what's your play when it comes to UMass and Auburn?
41 points, normally a season total for the UMass Minutemen, but they did it last week against New Mexico State. I think I'm going to go against a lot of folks here. I think Auburn just crushes this team.
I haven't bet it, but I think that is the correct play here. These are two different types of human beings lining up.
Yes, absolutely. And I'll tell you what, I've seen a lot of people drive that number down. It got down to 35, and I just said, okay, I got to jump
in here.
So you
said, thank you, I'll take it.
Yeah, and I'm sitting there, and I'm like, you know, it's funny, because last week I did have a play on UMass, and because I don't trust UMass. And I remember like last Wednesday or Thursday, and I was texting somebody and I said, I don't think I've ever said this before in my betting life. I kind of like UMass, but I'm going to hold off. And then they go and they get the win of the cover against New Mexico State. But I watched a decent amount of that game. And I'm sorry. One bad team beat a real horrible team. That's what I saw. UMass got outgained by New Mexico State by 70 yards. They had 41 points. They only gained 389 yards of offense in that game, Dustin, and they won because of that +3 turnover margin. But listen, here's the thing. And one of those turnovers, by the way, was a pick six that UMass scored on. UMass allowed New Mexico State 5.5 yards per carry, 9.2 yards per pass attempt. And now they're going to go up with their bad trench play, offense and defense, against Auburn, who gets the big upgrade as head coaches with Hugh Freeze. I like Peyton Thorne. I liked him at Michigan State. I thought it was a good idea to transfer, and he did. I think he's going to thrive in this offense, at least on Saturday. And they should really bury this team. I mean, they should destroy him in the trenches as far as I'm concerned. And, you know, again, I just looked at that game last week, and I thought, boy, that was a phony 41 points they put up against New Mexico State.
If you thought UMass and New Mexico State were bad, imagine how I felt when I laid the points with New Mexico State in the first half against UMass. Like, I was like, that's an easy winner. UMass is horrible. I love fading them. I guess Dom Brown, who's got to be like 70-something years old, he figured things out to whatever the degree it is for the Minutemen. Like, sure. But I agree with you here. Auburn's got the thoroughbreds, and Hugh Freeze is an offensive genius. And it's going to be interesting to see what he does over the course of time at Auburn back in the SEC. You actually have a game involving an SEC team. We'll get into that next. Also, a really intriguing matchup with one of those systems on a team that didn't play last week versus a team that did. All that on the other side. It's Sharp Money, VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
This is Sharp Money with Patrick Maher and Amal Shaw on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
The updated NFL betting guide is out now. Throughout the NFL preseason, the VSiN experts have been reevaluating every team to give you the betting edge. Our updated guide will have picks from every on-air host, team-specific preseason analysis, how to use our VSiN betting splits, and football contest strategies. If you want the best and most comprehensive collection of picks, predictions, and previews, now is the time to become a VSiN Pro subscriber for as low as $19. Or you can save 50% off the monthly price with an annual subscription and bet smarter all year long. Sign up today at vsin.com/subscribe. This is Sharp Money. I'm Dustin Sweetelson, hanging out at Circa with Scott Spreitzer, professional handicapper. Looking ahead, college football week one. It's upon us. It is here. We had the appetizer a week ago. Do you have a favorite appetizer? What's your go-to?
Oh, boy. I'm going to say, you know.
I'll stall for you.
Oh, okay. Go ahead.
The city of Las Vegas consumes more shrimp cocktail annually than the rest of the world combined.
And right over here on the corner, not too far from the Circa, the Golden Gate. I don't know if they're still great. They were the best thing in town, best value in town back in the day. And we're talking 20 years ago and even longer. Everybody who came to town, they wanted to go right over here and get at the Golden Gate and get the shrimp cocktail in the day. I don't know if it's still good, but it was great.
I'll let you know after the
80s
show.
80s and 90s, I'll definitely. You know. And next week we'll go out to lunch.
So what's the appetizer? What's your go-to?
Okay, now I'm going to give away a steakhouse here in town if that's okay.
That's fine.
All right. There's a place called Echo and Rig, and it's in Summerlin.
I know it
well. Yeah, and it's over in the Tivoli Square for those who are looking for a place to go if they're in Vegas. There is an appetizer, Dustin. I swear to God, it is a fifth food group or sixth food group or whatever you want to call it. You'd love it. We're going to go there one day. And it's a bacon appetizer, and it's a thick-cut hickory bacon. You dip it in a sauce, and it kicks your butt sideways in a good way for a week. And I love it. That's a great place to go, by the way. My wife and I, you know, I'm not doing the Saturday night show this year.
So you're free. Well, your wife loves it.
Not only that, but I can eat earlier because I used to meet her at 9:30 at Echo and Rig every Saturday night and put on about 20 pounds every week. And now I can actually try to stay a little bit thinner. But anyway, yeah, try that appetizer and I'll take you there and we'll have that appetizer. Oh. I could eat that appetizer, like 10 of those apps and not even have a steak. It's so good.
I'm good with bacon. Bacon's low carb. I'm good to go. There's no carbs in bacon. We're golden. All right. Let's look at some of the college football games. You mentioned, I know you've got something on Florida State and LSU and Oregon State, San Jose State, but real quick, Coach Prime making his debut. 20.5-point underdogs at TCU. Sonny Dykes, you were awesome year one with the Horned Frogs. What do you got for a repeat after losing your veteran signal caller, Max Duggan? Do you have any vibes on this game between the Buffaloes and the Horned Frogs?
First of all, did you see David Purdom's article the other day when he went around and interviewed all the casinos and the bookmakers and he saw that
no.
More money has been bet on Colorado to win the national championship than four top 10 teams.
Wow.
More money has been bet on Colorado to win the national title than the Ohio State Buckeyes.
Whoa.
So there's a lot of books out there who are, you know, still, they got some liability.
300-1 on DraftKings still.
Yeah.
I don't think the numbers moved very much.
No, and it's funny because their over-under wins total was basically 3.5 all summer long. So all this money coming in, I don't think the books that took all these bets are sweating it too much.
No.
Listen, Deion's got a ton of talent on offense. No doubt about it. His kid, his receivers, the running backs for this team. And we don't know how good it's going to be year one with all these transfers basically getting to know each other as they walk on the field on Saturday at TCU. However, I don't think they're going to be I think they're going to be pretty good on offense, which is why I ended up not laying the points, but I don't think that's a bad idea. I was driving in and I heard two people on radio shows talking about what I like in this game, which is TCU's team total over 41.5.
Oh.
It's 42 in some spots. I don't know if they can, if they can hold Colorado under 28. It's an unknown factor right now, Colorado's offense. We just know that they got a lot of skill. But the defense was bad. And they don't look too hot right now. But, of course, TCU no longer has Duggan. But remember, the starting quarterback to start last year for TCU was Chandler Morris. He got hurt. He's back. And this offense is going to be pretty good as far as I'm concerned. So 41.5 team total, TCU over, and I heard 42. In fact, Felico, one of the good friends of Eason, was on one of the shows I was listening to coming in, and that was his play on the game too. So we're all hopefully in good company, and I do think they score, go over that total of 41.5, 42.
I believe Felico will be hanging out with humans tonight on the contest show, on the Invitational. Sonny Dykes, you look at his track record, offense has always put up massive numbers, learned the air raid when he was, I believe, an assistant at Tech under Leach.
Sure.
And the only time it really didn't go crazy was when he was at Cal. And that was never the right fit anyway. And really, no one's really produced offense at Cal. Even Aaron Rodgers, when he was there,
sure,
it wasn't these crazy numbers with Tedford, and they had Marshawn Lynch. They had all sorts of weapons. So
I don't think that kind of offense is it wouldn't go in the SEC.
You need athletes.
Yeah. We saw it in the championship game. It's not going to go in the SEC. But against an opponent like this, where you got a bad defense, and even though they brought in a ton of talent, it's going to take some time to gel. It's a situation where they might be able to light up the scoreboard.
All right, interesting matchup, neutral site in Orlando. You've got LSU as the favorite, taking on everyone in the betting world's darling in Florida State. The Seminoles are, the hype train is through the roof, like Deion's back there and playing. That's how everyone thinks about Florida State this year. But they are the dog. They're catching two, neutral site. How do you feel about this one?
I expect LSU to exit with the win and cover. They don't have to do a lot to cover if they win this with that line being around two. But remember, the game's in Orlando, Florida, for those who might be just tuning in, and they see Florida State on the bottom when it comes to the schedule. It's being played in Orlando, so kind of a neutral site. But I think year two for Brian Kelly makes all the difference in the world, Dustin. Last year, we saw him early on in his career, so to speak, at Baton Rouge. Not everybody had developed that chemistry for what Brian Kelly was preaching. We saw a ton of mistakes by this team. They lose by 1 point. They had a blocked field goal in the first half, 30-yard attempt. They had a muffed punt at their own 10-yard line in the second half. Then, of course, they score that late touchdown. All they need is an extra point to tie the game, send to overtime. That gets blocked. It was just a horrible nightmare on special teams. And listen, Jaden Daniels is back. Everybody's back on the offensive line. I like the running game. They're not going to have Mason Smith. I got a question if anybody knows out there, and they can go to my Twitter and answer or tell Dustin. He can relay it to me later. But the bottom line is like, how do you get suspended for illegal benefits during the nil era? I'm trying to figure that one out.
It technically happened before it, maybe, and it didn't get ruled on. I was so confused by it. Like, how is it the NIL is happening and this guy gets suspended for just doing like an autograph signing or something like that? But it's a big loss for them. I have not bet this one yet. I lean LSU. I've been hesitant to get down, but I'm a big Brian Kelly guy.
Sure.
I still think the fit was weird at LSU, but yeah, he proved us wrong. Did you know in his last 4 years at Notre Dame, Kelly, 25-14-1 ATS as a favorite, going 40-0 outright in those. So this is a situation where I'm leaning towards backing the favorite in this one. It's under a field goal, under a touchdown. I had a trend earlier where the favorite in those matchups just absolutely crushing the underdog.
And I'm not down on Florida State. They're getting a lot of hype. I'm just on this particular point spread, I think there's no real value on Florida State. And if I'm wrong, I'm wrong. But, you know, I laid this like, I don't know what, 6 weeks ago, because I kept sending you the plays, you know, and I was like, LSU. And so here we are, and I haven't changed my mind. I still like him in this game.
I still like LSU to potentially win the national championship. I think there's a very good chance they could put up a fight when all this comes to fruition with some of the transfers they got in from other big programs.
Right.
SEC championship, they could give Georgia everything and advance. A game you and I were talking about in the break, Utah State and Iowa. And good God, you really got to like some weird stuff to put this on. With all the options on television these days, aside from the incredible slate of week one, to throw on Utah State, Iowa without potentially Cade McNamara under center for the Hawkeyes, I'm actually on the first half under 22.5 in this one.
I saw a first half team total of 3.5 on Utah State the other night. I do a Big Ten show on Wednesday nights every football season. We just started the new season the other night. So the guy by the name of Travis Justice used to be a sports anchor in the Midwest. And then the co-host is Rob Zateshka, who used to play for Nebraska when they won the title in the mid-90s, and he played for the Giants for a few years. So we talk about a lot of Midwestern and Big Ten football. And I'm going to end it, and then I'm going to tell you how I got there. But I'm going to start with the ending, which I told those guys, if the Iowa Hawkeyes go out and play a rebuilding Utah State squad and can't win at least like 31-6 and flex their muscle, this could be a long year in Iowa City. You've got to be able to knock off this team and look halfway decent on offense doing so. There is a 25-point contract that Brian Ferentz, the son of Kirk Ferentz, has to fulfill to keep his job after this season. I'm not sure he can turn it all around, but I'm really down on Utah State this year. Blake Anderson takes over a couple of years ago, goes 11-3 year one, 6-7 last year when they were expected to be a better football team, and now they're really in rebuild. They're in like, we're going to destroy it, we're going to rebuild it, and I think they're a pretty bad football team. I kind of made the score myself like 31-9, 34-9 in that neighborhood. That was when I thought Cade McNamara was going to play. I don't care if he doesn't play. This offense has got to come out and show something that they didn't show at all last year. So I don't have a play on this game, Dustin, but I'm going to be extremely interested in watching a good chunk of this game to see if Iowa's improved on offense.
And Kirk Ferentz is one of these guys. I'm never on the right side of Iowa. When I think they're going to win, they get crushed. When I think they're going to lose, they win outright. Bring this whole thing full circle. I like the defense for Utah State. Their defensive coordinator, a guy by the name of Joe Cawthon, who I was at Valdosta State with also.
I like your under first half, by the way. That's the way I'd go in this game. Yeah, I really would.
If McNamara doesn't play, I feel great about it. Well, Scott, thanks for doing this. Thanks for coming by. We will chat again next week, next Wednesday.
Sounds good, man.
The normal time. Tim Murray's coming up next to hang out for the final segment, Sharp Money.
This is Sharp Money with Patrick Maher and Amal Shaw on VSIN, the sports betting network.
With the NFL season right around the corner, nonstop football action is in sight. You can get in on the action with DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NFL. Right now, new customers can bet just $5 and score $200 in bonus bets instantly. Life's more fun when you're in on the action. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app before kickoff. Use code SHARP to get $200 in bonus bets instantly when you bet just $5 on any NFL bet. Only on DraftKings Sportsbook with code SHARP. The crown is yours. Sharp Money, VSiN, the sports betting network. I'm Dustin Sweetelson in Circa, hanging out now with a new friend. Well, no, he's not a new friend, but like someone new on the show, hanging out now in studio. Tim Murray, host of Primetime, coming up next with Sean King. Also, the VSiN is the College Football Betting Podcast.
Yes, sir.
So I got a lot of things to run by you. First, thanks for hanging out.
I just want to say real quickly what a pro Dustin is, because mid-read, we're here in Vegas. It never rains. And we got a flash flood warning that I guess anyone geofenced in this area. And Dustin very nonchalantly, while reading, just went over, turned it off. Well done, sir. Well done. Bravo.
Yeah. Well, here's the other part. Not to humble brag, but I'm going to humble brag. I have an Apple Watch, and it was going off too.
Double.
And apparently, when you shut the alarm off on the phone, it doesn't shut. So my wrist was vibrating the whole time, too. So, yeah, that's where we're at. It's week one is upon us, Tim.
Yes, sir.
I know you look. People don't. Tim doesn't like to brag. I'll brag for Tim. Tim is one of the many athletes we have here at VSiN. He is a former collegiate athlete.
That's true.
Like, Sean gets all the pub on the show. I don't think we do enough about the fact that Tim was a college basketball player. Muleback.
Record-setting college basketball player. Hold the record for worst free throw percentage in a season. So,
what was that percentage?
25%. 8 for 31. Yeah.
Better than I would have done.
As long mental. It's all mental. As anyone out there. And I don't have the mental fortitude. So, yeah. But, no, I appreciate it. Thank you, sir.
Stick to what you're good at. What you're good at was being the tall guy under the basket who got stuff done.
Pretty much. Yeah. That's it. Yeah, pretty much.
All right. So, I think most people know here at VSiN, I like to get weird. I do a lot of weird things.
On air or off air? Because I could speak to the second part, too.
All together, everywhere. So I have a few weird bets I want to throw at you as the host of the College Football Betting Podcast.
Okay.
I'm sure you've heard them. As someone who I know loves college football. First one, this is a weird line to me because I think both of these teams are horrific, and I don't think the one that is favored should ever be favored by 10 points to anyone, and that is Akron catching 10 at Temple. I am actually taking Akron in this one, and I did a lot of research to
the
try
zips,
and back
baby.
It up, but it's just a matter of I think both teams stink.
I wouldn't push back. Akron this year, Joe Moorhead another year. Yep. Look, a lot of teams came after Joe Moorhead to try to bring him in, elite offensive coordinator from his time at Penn State. I mean, think about this: Penn State right now, Dustin, is a team that is getting hype to make the playoff, to win the Big Ten, and James Franklin, I am convinced, is fired. If not for Joe Moorhead coming in as his offensive coordinator
a couple years ago,
saving his career. He went to Mississippi State, didn't work out there, was the OC at Oregon. This is a good spot for Joe Moorhead. Catching 10, it's going to be no atmosphere at Lincoln Financial there. So I'm not going to push back on taking the points with the zips here in this spot. Make sure you get the double digits. Still some 9.5s out there, but right here at Circa, there's a 10.
My guy Joe Moorhead won at Fordham. Do you know how hard it is to win at college football in the Bronx?
Made the NCAA tournament. Some good squads at Fordham.
Also, speaking of like playing in no atmosphere, that's no atmosphere situation. All right, here's a giant weirdo for you. Weird bet I've got. This team is moving its way up to FBS. It redshirted all of their best players a year ago in the transition
period.
Talk
about the Bearcats with a K?
Sam Houston State, plus 20 at BYU. I want to get weird with them. In fact, I did get weird with them. I bet them already. What's your vibe on that one?
I mean, all I'll say about this one is we had Carl Johnson on yesterday, who is the sportsbook director at the Beau Rivage in Biloxi, Mississippi, and he gives out the Sharp report. So where have the Sharps bet? They like the Bearcats with the K, Sam Houston State. They took the 20. It's down to 19.5. So I'll just relay the message that I was told that you're on the sharp side of this spot here. So that's all I'll let you know about that. By the way, I will give you $5 if you tell me who BYU's quarterback is.
It's Keaton Slovis.
Nice. All right, $5.
I did my research. They let me sit at the desk. I got to do a little bit of research. I don't need your
$5,
Tim.
You got $5.
Real quick, though, hardest question I'll ask during this segment. Tim Murray hanging out, Sharp Money. I'm Dustin Sweetelson. Is a Bearcat a bear or a cat?
Both.
It looks like a giant gerbil, by the way. That's what it looks like. I had to look it up. All right, next one. Oh, I'm not happy that Sean King's in the room for this one.
Oh, boy.
South Alabama, plus 6.5 at Tulane. The Jags coming off winning 10 games for the first time in school history. They have 15 sixth-year seniors on the roster. Give me South Alabama catching the points at Tulane, who has to replace a lot of offensive production.
Have to replace Tajay Spears, who is the player of the year, ran for over 200 yards against USC in the Cotton Bowl. You have to replace their top five leading tacklers, top four pass catchers. Now, Tulane does bring back four starters on the offensive line. They brought in a transfer from LSU, I think made 11 starts last year. So the offensive line should be solid. And, of course, they're bringing back their quarterback, Michael Pratt. But what I always look to as well, Dustin, when you're looking at games like this early on in the year, what's the coaching staff situation? What did it go through? South Alabama brings back everybody. Yep. All their coaches are back. This is probably their last year together. Major Applewhite is their offensive coordinator.
He's still around.
18 starters returned. Carter Bradley, I think, is like 27 years old. He's the quarterback down there for South Alabama.
Gus Bradley's son.
So I'm on the Jags, and I'll tell you this. Sean's not on air right now, but I'll bring it up. I tried to get him to cigar bet me this with the points. Wouldn't do it.
Oh, that's
Wouldn't
dangerous.
Wouldn't do it. Wouldn't
yeah,
do it.
I think Tulane's going to lose so bad they're going to change the name to One Lane. All right. Next one, let's get
done
weird.
Better than that. It was all right. Also, a little bit of a peek ahead spot. Ole Miss comes to Tulane next week.
So that's why I'm on Miami of Ohio versus Miami of Florida.
Texas A&M.
A&M's coming up also, I think.
Also, Brett Gabbert said you'll know tonight who the real Miami is. So, I mean, come on.
And we will always know that it's in Florida, but I think the Redhawks have a chance to compete in the MAC. And
they do. Martin. I'm a big fan of Chuck Martin, their head coach.
Chuck Martin at Division II Grand Valley State is an absolute legend. I mean, just went on ridiculous runs, picking up where Brian Kelly left off. And in that game tonight, I think 16.5 is a lot of points. And you got to remember, Miami's working a new offensive system. Tyler Van Dyke's got a thumb issue. We couldn't decide
He reportedly hit a helmet of an offensive lineman during practice or something like that.
But I saw a false report. A false report said he hurt his finger. A thumb is not a finger. A thumb is a thumb.
It's true.
That's kind of my takeaway from that one. All right. Next one of getting weird. A school Sean King knows very well, and he'll be coming up next with you on primetime. Western Kentucky, I'm laying the 11.5 for South Florida. I just think the transition with goalless year one, cupboard's bare, and Jerry Bohannon ain't running up the score the way Western Kentucky can do with Austin Reed, who threw for 4,700 yards, 40 touchdowns last season.
That was one of the most interesting situations last bowl season. Austin Reed was in the portal, the quarterback for Western Kentucky, record-setting quarterback. And then he came out of the portal, played in the bowl game. Western Kentucky won. The thing that does worry me a little bit about the Hilltoppers is it's become this offensive coordinator factory. You know, Zach Kittley and my guy Bailey Zappi, we won a lot of money a couple years ago. Then it was Arbuckle, who's now at Washington State. Another new offensive coordinator there for Tyson Helton and the Hilltoppers. So I will wish you good luck against Mr. Golish in game number one. How about that total, by the way? 70, one of the highest totals of week number one is the Western Kentucky-South Florida game, as high as 70.5 at some spots.
Ty Helton, a pretty good coach.
Yeah.
Pretty good coach, consistent.
Success. Yep.
All right, next one here. Going to lay the 20.5 West Virginia, or lay with Penn State against West Virginia. I think Manny Diaz is going to shut down the Mountaineers. Neil Brown's in a lot of trouble. There's a lot of pressure on him right now. He just doesn't have the players to go shot for shot with what is potentially a dangerous Penn State offense. What say you about that?
I'm not going to play this game, but I am high, and I'll give kudos to my partner who will be joining
Rare moment.
Yeah, exactly. But he's very high on Penn State, very bullish, thinks they have a chance to make the playoff and maybe even win the national title. This is a loaded team, big-time left tackle. One of their guards did retire this week, so something to kind of keep in mind long-term there for Penn State. But it's going to come down to why I wouldn't lay the points, my personal opinion. I just don't know what Drew Aller's going to be,
yes,
the quarterback.
That's fair.
Five-star recruit, absolute stud, we believe. But it's a situation where, you know, Penn State fans, Dustin, have always been like, Sean Clifford, get out of here. Maybe Sean Clifford isn't terrible. He just made an NFL roster as the backup for the Packers. So
look, he's not Reggie Ball.
Yeah.
No offense to Reggie Ball. All right, real quick before we get out of here, I'll give out a couple. This one is weird. I'm laying 14 on the road with Texas Tech at Wyoming. Again, I think Texas Tech's going to be awesome
this
year.
Look ahead spot. They got Oregon week two.
I know.
Prime time up in Laramie, Elevation.
And then I'm laying it with Washington at versus Boise State.
I agree with that one.
Georgia Tech in the points tonight. And I said Miami of Ohio earlier, Tim. Thank you.
The real Miami. They'll be shown tonight.
Yeah, that's what we're going to find out. If you missed any part of the show, go back, VSiN.com, the VSiN app also. Check them out. Check us out wherever you get your podcasts. That is it for us, Sharp Money. You got Tim and Sean up next.